And now, with Sound Investing, here's Paul Merriman.
Last week, Rich Buck and I wrote an article about how a simple two-fund portfolio can boost your retirement return. And I recorded a podcast entitled, This Two-Fund Solution Leaves the S&P 500 in the Dust. Now, the reason I did this particular article and podcast was to focus in on the long-term implications of value versus blend. Now, remember what blend is, whether it's the S&P 500 or a small cap blend fund or ETF. Blend means it's a combination of growth and value. And we know, at least historically, that value has produced a better rate of return than growth. So I wanted to see, with lots of history, how an all-value portfolio would look compared to a combination of growth and value, even if the value portion of the growth and value was more than 50% of the portfolio. What happens if you get rid of growth? Now, I'm going to be quick to say here that you never, almost never get rid of growth. Even in the small cap value fund that is very heavily weighted to value, there's almost always going to be a little bit of growth in that portfolio. But what we saw in last week's article and podcast was that a combination of the two value funds or asset classes, large cap value and small cap value, produced a better rate of return, whether it was over the entire 88-year period, or if we looked at all the 15-year periods, or we looked at all the 40-year periods. By focusing only on value, it was a better rate of return. Just to remind you that for the 88-year period, the combination of big, small, value, growth turned in an 11.7% compound rate of return, no fees included. And the two-fund value portfolio produced 12.4%. And when we look at the average 15-year period from 1928 to 2015, the average compound rate of return of the four-fund portfolio, 13.6, versus the two-fund all-value portfolio of 14.8. And then for the average 40-year period, the four fund was 13.7 versus the two fund of 15. And interestingly enough, when we looked at the 15 and 40-year periods, the worst performing periods were about the same for both the four and the two fund portfolio. Bottom line is that the unit of return per unit of risk was better for all value than a combination of value and growth. But I wanted to show you that because it was the only way I could show you a very long period of time, including going through the Depression, including going through the years and years of losses, as well as the years and years of gains in different periods of time, a war, other wars, political intrigue, energy crises, all sorts of bad things that happened. Value won out in the end. But you know that when possible, I like to diversify not just amongst U.S. asset classes, but also include internationals, You get more diversification. You might even get a better rate of return. And you get the advantage of some currency diversification. So the article that's been so helpful in people understanding building that portfolio of big, small, value, growth, U.S. and international, has been in an article that we update each year. And of course, every year, the people at MarketWatch give it a different title. What I would like it to be is simply the ultimate equity buy and hold portfolio. And as you may recall, in that article and the podcast that I've done to go along with that, I build a series of portfolios starting with all S&P, and then the next portfolio is 10% U.S. large cap value and 90% S&P. Then the next portfolio adds some small cap blend. And then the next one adds a little bit of small cap value. Then comes the REITs. Then come the international similar asset classes. And finally, a slice of emerging markets. And what we know is over the period of time, 1970 through 2015, that while the S&P 500 compounded at 9.3 approximately, the combination of all the different asset classes, even by the way throwing in a 1% management fee, compounded at 11.3. So about a 2% advantage. And we also in that article show that had you invested $100,000 one time in 1970 with the S&P 500, it would have grown to almost $6 million. And with the combination of all of the asset classes, the 11.28% return would have built to over $13.6 million. So more than double the total return and at almost exactly the same standard deviation. So that's a fact. I have that portfolio in part. That's part of my buy and hold portfolio. That's the equity part of my portfolio. But I'm here not only to serve those of us who are on the downside of life, I'm trying to help people who are just getting started. And I think that a lot of those young people would like that idea of building a value portfolio, big and small value. And of course, the U.S. only would be okay. But what if you built an all-value portfolio that is made up of big and small value U.S., big and small value in the international markets, and a position of big and small value in the emerging markets. So you basically have a portfolio that has lots of big and lots of small and almost all value. And over that same period from 1970 through 2015, instead of an 11.28% compound rate of return, it goes to 12.43 because value has outperformed growth by a substantial amount. And that would have taken that original $100,000 instead of to $13.6 million in portfolio 7. In portfolio 8, the all-value portfolio, almost $22 million. And I've made a big deal in the past about how a half a percent, another half a percent, whether it's because of lower expenses, less turnover, better asset class selection, buying a no-load rather than a load fund. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can figure out to pick up an extra half a 1%. I'm talking about two of those things, two of those half a percents, better than a 1% advantage over that 46-year period. And of course, that is substantial, obviously. If it's your family's money, it even becomes more substantial. And I think that while it's not right for me, because really my portfolio has a lot of value in it, but it also has some growth. But I think for young investors in their 20s, in their 30s, I would think it would be absolutely appropriate to build a portfolio of value funds and value ETFs. You can bring in the growth and the better, the less risky companies later on in your investing career. But early on, I would love for you to have the advantage of asset classes that give you a great kick early in the process. That has two huge impacts. One is you're going to have more money, but you know, if your portfolio is doing as well or even better than what you thought it could do, maybe that will be the motivation to save more. If you have the confidence that you're going to be treated well and with respect, and you get a better return, I think people might just commit more money to that process. So this is a strategy for a lot of investors. And by the way, I will be, along with the help of Daryl Balls, and who does all the number crunching for me, for us, and does a great job, and Rich Buck, who helps me with the articles. We're going to be recreating the fine-tuning table. Remember the fine-tuning table where we show a combination of all fixed income and then start increasing the equity portion in 10% increments all the way up to 100% equities? Going to do that, but do it with value only. And I'm hoping that will be the next article that we work on. And then following that, I want to do an article on answering all of the questions you're coming up with. I have obviously touched a nerve here in terms of something you're interested in, because you're hitting me with lots of questions. So I'm going to answer those questions, and then I'm going to recommend how one might build that portfolio to access those the value-only combination. Now, I think it's important to address some realities. Some realities. A reality. Here's one. I'm an expert on the past. I know a lot about the past. And certainly knowing about the past helps us, helps me. Hopefully it helps you too. But we also know, while we know exactly what we should have done in the past, we don't know how it's going to be in the future. Who would have thought that in the early 80s, that interest rates that were on CDs, some in some cases 15, 16% a year for CDs, that here in 2016, you'd be lucky to get 2%. In fact, a lot of the shorter term ones are paying less than one in some cases. So we can't know what that future is going to look like. There are a lot of people who are warning us, and with lots of good reasons, that the future isn't going to be as profitable as it has been in the past. And I obviously can't know. What I do believe, though, while I can't say that I believe you will get as much money in the future. I hope you'll make as much money in the future. But what I strongly believe is that stocks will still outperform bonds. So if we're looking for long-term growth, we need to have some equities in the portfolio. I believe, because of the premium for the risk that you take, that small companies, while they may not make 12%, whatever they make, it will be more than the large companies over the long term. And likewise, I feel that way about growth versus value. I think there will continue to be a premium for value because it's more risky than the exciting growth companies. So if we can't count on these returns I'm talking about, for example, the 12.4% for the worldwide value portfolio, if we can't count on that, and that's what we actually need in order to achieve our long-term goals, well, it seems to me that you need to take control, get your hands on the reins, pull back, save more, invest more to make up for the underperformance that might be experienced over the coming 40 years. I also know that the people who lived through 73 and 74 would never have guessed that from 1975 to 1999, the S&P 500 would compound at 17 and small cap at about 22. Where was the evidence? Where was there anything to suggest that you're going to make that kind of money when we're going through a period that people have decided they don't ever want to be in the stock market again? So the challenge, it seems to me, is to be able to position in ourselves, our money, in asset classes that are in our favor from what we know about the past. High expenses, not in our favor. High turnover, not in our favor. High taxes, not in our favor. So whether we're talking about controlling those kinds of variables or the variables of the asset classes you use to build your portfolio, I want you to do it the best that you possibly can. And remember what my goal is. My goal is for you to have more money than you need so that when you are my age and older, that you will not only feel comfortable in spending a lot of money or more money than you would have had you not been prudent and taken advantage of the combination of good saving and good investing, but that you'll be willing to share more with others. For me, I'll be long dead and buried. But my hope is if I could be looking down, I would see somebody helping others with the good fortune of having been a successful, prudent investor. So I hope if you haven't, that you will read the article that goes along with this podcast and that you'll follow up with the next one on the fine-tuning table. Hope we get that done in time. And then the one that goes into a combination of answering your questions and putting together some suggested portfolios, whether they be mutual funds or ETFs. I hope you'll pass this along to others. And as I've mentioned in a recent podcast, I'm really pleased with the number of you that have passed along not only an article or a podcast from time to time, but especially that 2.5-hour video that will hopefully motivate people to make some major changes. I loved one email I got was from a gentleman who watched the video twice and then was ready to make some decisions. I thought that was great. But as important to me was he asked his two children that for his birthday, he would like them to watch that video. And boy, that was also when I found that out. It was about the time I was turning 73. That was a birthday present for me as well. Thanks again for listening.
That was Paul Merriman with Sound Investing. Sound Investing, soundinvesting.com, and paulmerriman.com are produced and exclusively owned by Paul Merriman, who is solely responsible for their content. For more information, free articles, mutual fund recommendations, and more, visit paulmerriman.com.